I thought, since we just sang about the gathering and we're gathered here, I talked just a little bit about the gathering principle. I've written a book on it called The Gathering of Lights. How many people have read that book? Great, a number of you. What'd you think of that book, Lorraine?
I loved it.
Great. What'd you think, Larry? Okay, Larry, what would you say the gathering principle is? How would you state it in a few sentences?
The general idea, as I understand it, is that there are all these people through the earth that are the lights. And as they come together, closer and closer together, instead of being individual little lights that are hidden by the dark, they start to coalesce into a brighter and brighter light, and everybody adds their light. And when we coalesce with this light, then we set an example for the rest of humanity.
Okay.
All I was going to say is Jesus is the light, and I am, and we are I am. So we are, because Christ is in us.
Okay. When you realize that, you're the light of the world too, aren't you? A lot of people don't realize it, but Jesus attempted the gathering, and the gathering is actually talked more about in the scriptures than just about any other principle. Moses gathered the children of Israel out from the land of Egypt. And when he gathered them together out of the land of Egypt, the Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. You know, when I first saw that movie, The Ten Commandments, when I was a kid, I wondered, well, what is the Pharaoh's problem? I mean, just let those people go. Why wouldn't he let them go? I couldn't understand why he wouldn't let them go. He had all these plagues come, and even after the plagues, he still wouldn't let them go. And then even after he lost his only son, or his firstborn, he still wouldn't let him go. He still went after him. So why did he want those Hebrews to stay with him? There would just seem to be a thorn in the side from what I could tell. Well, why did the Pharaoh not want to let his people go? Right, free labor. Now let's suppose the same thing happened today. Let's suppose the hard-working tax-paying people of the country decided to gather out and go somewhere else. And all the people living off the taxpayers had to work for themselves. Do you think they would want? Do you think the same thing would happen? Do you think the new Pharaoh might say, I'm not letting you guys go?
Yeah, we should be on your case.
It's interesting, in the book of Isaiah it's written, behold, my people are sold again into slavery. But this time they were sold without money. They went freely. They went freely into slavery. They were sold without money. Right. Now, last time, in the old days, slaves were sold for money. You got money out of going into slavery. You sold a kid into slavery, you got money for him. But Isaiah says it's peculiar in this coming age. He says people will be sold into slavery, but they won't get any money for going into slavery. They'll just go of their own free will. See, were you forced to work for somebody else or do what you don't want to do? That is slavery. And right now, the average person has to pay about 50% of his money in taxes. Now, a lot of it is subtle things. You know, you paid, Larry bought some wine for us, paid a whole bunch of tax on that. You pay, buy gasoline, you pay tax on that. You buy cigarettes, you pay taxes on that. A lot of subtle taxes that even people below the poverty line that don't pay income tax pay taxes on. Plus, the lottery is all geared against us for the lower income people. They pay a lot of money to the state on that. And as Larry says, inflation is a tax. Overall, the average person pays 50% of what he earns to the government. I mean, even in the worst times, in ancient times, very few people paid over 25%. And a lot of people in slavery got to keep 50% of what they owned in ancient times. I mean, a lot of times a guy would have a slave, and the slave would have a side business on his own and have to give maybe 40 or 50% to his boss, and the boss let the slave do what he wanted with the rest of the time. Well, if we, the average person pays 50% of his money to the government now, the only advantage we have now over ancient times is there's more money in circulation overall. But as far as the percentages go, in the systems of the world, not only the United States, but the United States is actually not as bad. In some foreign countries, it's more than 50%. So let's suppose we had a society where people were free to take their surplus money and use it in a way that they saw fit to help humanity. You think you could make better use of 50% of your extra income than the government could? That way you wouldn't have to have $100 toilet seats bought by the government when you could buy it for $5, right? So here's what happens in the history of the world. In the history of the world, a civilization springs up, whether it be Atlantis, Lemuria, or many smaller civilizations in between, have sprung up, and the authorities squeeze their people tighter and tighter and tighter until finally people begin to gather out from that system. They gather out from that system and create a better system. And when they create a better system, then the old system begins to fall apart. And the old system always is against the new system beginning. And so Moses decided to, he didn't decide. He was commanded to gather out the people from Egypt. And the Pharaoh resisted very strongly because these guys were their bread and butter. All the Egyptians were just taking it easy, and the Hebrews were doing all the hard work. If we compare it to our time, it's like the Hebrews are the big taxpayers, and the modern-day Egyptians are people that are just kind of has an easy life living off of them. And the government bureaucracies. So the modern-day Egyptians are the government bureaucracies. The modern-day Hebrews are the small, independent business people that are struggling and working like crazy to make ends meet and paying the taxes. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about the principle of the gathering. And the basic idea behind this, like I say, is the governments rise up, they put the squeeze on the people become more and more like the Hebrew slaves of ancient times in the time of Moses. And then something happens that the people that see the clearest of what's going on are gathered out. Then a correspondent of the Pharaoh rises up and he tries to stop this. He's unable to stop it. And eventually a new kingdom is born. And then the new kingdom flourishes and then it begins to disintegrate and turn into the same type of bureaucracy the old kingdom was. And then lights are gathered out again and a new kingdom is formed. This keeps happening over and over on various levels. The greatest gatherings, though, have been the gatherings for spiritual purposes. The most prominent one that we know about in history was Moses. Moses gathered out the lights based on the guidance from a higher power. And very few people are aware, but Jesus spoke quite a bit about the gathering. He attempted to gather the lights. The first attempt of the gathering of lights was through John the Baptist. He's a different character, remember, from John the Revelator. But John the Baptist was quite a bit different character from Jesus. He was a very strict guy. He was eating just the bare essentials, locusts and honey, and lived in the wilderness, and some people called him a wild man. And when Jesus came, he drank a little wine and relaxed, and ate a little meat. And a lot of people thought he was a glutton. They called him a wine bibber and a glutton in relation to John. And people wondered, well, these two characters are entirely on each end of the spectrum. And people were amazed that they were actually cooperating with one another. because they seem to be two types of characters that would be opposed to one another by using the normal trends of thought. And John had a hard time accepting Jesus at first because he was a lot different than him. He was a lot more relaxed than John. John was very serious. John was like the today's, say, really fundamentalist religious person that wants to prepare for the great things to come, and then the person comes with the great thing. He's just a lot more relaxed than everybody thought he would be. And so John took his mission very seriously, and he did everything he could to gather out the lights from the Judaic area and teach them. And so John acquired quite a large number of students. And then Jesus came along, and he picked 12 of these students to be his disciples, 12 of the males of that group. And then he also had picked 12 females that followed him. That is written clearly in the scriptures. But of John's group, he picked these 12. And because these people were prepared by John, he called John the greatest prophet in the history of man. And the reason he called him the greatest prophet was because John prepared a group for him, and then he, despite their differences, despite their personality differences, John turned his disciples over to Jesus. Now, what most teachers do when they get a group around them? Are they willing to turn them over to any other teacher? No, they say, these are mine. You go find your own. And that's why what's one of the reasons Jesus called John the greatest prophet of them all was because he was able to overcome his ego and turn his students over to Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was a greater teacher than he was, which was hard for him to do because he was totally a different type of person than he was. And he didn't have these austere aspects to him. He didn't have this really cut and dried way of looking at things the way John did. So John had to listen to his soul. And when he listened to his soul, it spoke to him, and he recognized that there was one greater than himself. The gathering principle is always resisted by the powers that be. And in each age, we have something like a Moses and something like a Pharaoh and something like the people trying to better themselves. But the gathering principle is the principle behind all evolution. You'll find that when life began, it began by gathering out the certain elements needed to produce molecules and certain molecules needed to produce amino acids, certain acids gathering together to produce cells, cells gathering together to produce little life forms, and the little life forms gathering together to produce greater life forms until all the essence has gathered together from the mineral, the vegetable, the animal kingdom to produce human beings. Your life was produced by the gathering principle. All social evolution was produced by the gathering principle. In the beginning, there were tribes or families. Families gathered together to produce tribes. The reason they gathered together to produce tribes was because just living as a family made you very exposed to the elements and was very dangerous, whereas if you gathered together and created a tribe, it gave you a lot more protection from the elements. But then the tribes were attacked by other tribes. And so tribes gathered together and produced a nation, and a nation could protect itself from wandering tribes. So the nation was much more superior, or the kingdom was much more superior to a tribe. And then eventually when all the kingdoms have come and gone and risen and fallen, the people were more and more suppressed by the various kingdoms of the world. And then the Western world was discovered, And then the greatest lights of the world that were suppressed by the kingdoms gathered together and came to America for a greater opportunity. And they came and they gathered together here. And when they were gathered together here, they said, we want to go beyond what the kingdoms have done. We want to go beyond having a king to tell us what to do and be able to cut our head off if we don't conform. So they created a series of laws and that ensured greater freedom. And this was because of the gathering principle. The lights gathered here in America, and they created something that had never been created before by their gathering. And then in various religious organizations there's been gathering. The Mormon Church was an attempted gathering together of the lights. And the gathering, however, shortly after the death of Joseph Smith, the gathering principle ceased to be taught anymore. And so now they just gather into churches rather than gathering to create a better way of life. So the gathering principle has been tried again and again, but unfortunately with this country, we gathered together to escape bureaucracy, and now we've gone back to creating tremendous bureaucracy, and it's almost like a kingdom government where we are told what to do in every little detail again. So another gathering has to take place, and this next gathering will be a spiritual gathering. Will be a gathering of lights, gathering of people that can see the God within. So the gathering of the coming age will be those who recognize, those who can be stimulated, and they can recognize the speech and the truths presented that are verified by the God within. And these people, that when they begin to recognize and reverberate within, when they meet another person that has the same process going on, there's a familiarity between these people. Have you ever met somebody else you just feel very familiar with because you know that they are also receiving similar things to what you're receiving? There's this similarity of vibration. Lorraine's there shaking her head. She sees it. And that's a great feeling to meet somebody else that you feel on a same wavelength with. Well, these lights that feel on the same wavelength, when they merge like in a group like this and go back home, it's kind of boring to be back among people that have no interest in going higher. And they have a desire to get back together. It's like coming home. So this is what the gathering is about, is to take these people home to where they can share this similarity of vibration. And when the similarity of vibration is shared, more revelation comes. Now, on another scale, let's look back at the founding of America again. Some of the greater lights came from Europe and various nations to America, and when they got here, they experienced a similarity of vibration. They all loved freedom. They loved the freedom to think for themselves. And they had a similarity of vibration. And when they got together, they shared ideas, and they come up with a lot of interesting ideas as to how to make a lot better system than any one of them would have come up with on their own. And thus, they created the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, certain guaranteed freedoms, fairly democratic system. But unfortunately, since that time, we have drifted away from the original intent. And we think we've improved things, but there's many things we've made worse rather than improve. So anyway, the next gathering will be of a spiritual nature. And when spiritual people get together and share ideas, they have a lot more revelation and inspiration come. And I've noticed this whenever I'm associated with anyone for any length of time that's on a similar vibration, you just feel a lot of ideas come, or maybe they might ask you questions that a lot of people don't ask. It gives you seed thoughts to contemplate. And so what will happen is this is the beginning of the gatherings, and there's other groups gathering too. And eventually, there will be pockets where people will gather in various cities around the nation and around the world. And these people will gather together in the physical and eventually create the molecular order that we've talked about. For those of you who haven't read it, we have a book, free book on it on the internet. And these people will gather together and share light with each other. And then after a period of time, hopefully this will be accomplished within the next 20 to 30 years, that a large group of people will be available to gather together into one place. And where that one place is, we'll give out at the right time. But in order to accomplish this, the number of people to be gathered will have to number in the thousands. And the books on the Immortal series will have to be sold in the millions eventually. And when this happens, it'll give us power to gather out the lights and to create a completely different and new spiritual order of things, where there will be more freedom of thought and a movement than has ever existed before. Now, what's the purpose of the gathering? There's several objections to the gathering. Number one objection is, well, stay where you are and just make things better there. Now, what would have happened if the people that came to America listened to the advice of their relatives and say, now, stay where you are in England. It's pretty good here. You just if you reform the church here rather than go to silly America. You know, well, if Benjamin Franklin, Washington were never born here in America, then the Constitution may have never been. So these people, by gathering out and pooling their minds together, came up with something better. And what's interesting is after America was established, then England, the mother nation, began to reform itself after the pattern of our free constitution. So now England has a fairly free government in relation to what it had before. So the mother state that oppressed the daughter wind up learning from the daughter. And thus it will be with the future gathering. When the future gathering of lights happens, there will be many innovative principles taught and installed. And then the rest of the world will look at it, and the scripture says, and the world will be so impressed, it says, that the kings and the great men of the earth shall bring their gold and their silver and their wealth to Zion. Why will they bring it there? The same reason that when America was established and the streets that everybody thought was paved with gold, everybody began to bring their wealth over here. Because this was the land of opportunity. This was the land where there was growth. When the next gathering takes place, there will not only be spiritual opportunity, there will be physical opportunity. There will be wealth created. There will be abundance in every possible way. And when people see this abundance, the people of the world will say, we want to do this too. We don't want to pay over half of our money in tax. Those people only pay a tithe over there. Only pay like 10%. So we want to be like them. And everything is voluntary over there. And people are taken care of over there through free will. We aren't forced. They aren't forced in this new gathering to do good. The greatest evil that's ever created is when men try to force people to do good. That's why the Soviet Union fell apart. They spent all their energies trying to force everybody to do what was right. And in trying to force the system created to force everybody to do what was right, And, you know, their ideals, a lot of them weren't that bad. You know, equality isn't that bad. However, they made it look so bad that some people think equality is bad now. But the Soviet Union made equality, they took ideals like equality, for instance, and tried to force equality upon people. True equality can only be obtained by free will. So by taking an ideal of sharing, of equality, of equal rights, and using force to attempt to attain them produces disaster and destruction. And this is what the old Soviet Union was a great example of. They took good ideals and they tried to force people into them, and it just didn't work. It all has to happen through free will, through unfolding naturally. And a people that are fairly enlightened can be gathered out that will take care of each other without being forced to take care of each other. But when you try to force people to take care of each other, then nobody's taken care of and the spirit dies in the people. But when you let people operate on their free will and you teach them correct principles and let them govern themselves, then the spirit of freedom and the spirit of the Holy Spirit will flourish within the group. And then eventually heaven and earth will become as one. All of the hierarchy of masters operate totally upon the principle of free will. They can decide to rebel anytime they wanted to. From the masters on up to the highest lives in the universe, all the brotherhood of light operate on free will. The brotherhood of the dark brothers, however, do not believe in the principle of free will. They believe that the most intelligent among them, that the system works a lot better. The most intelligent among them bosses everybody else around and tells them what to do, and they have to obey blindly because the less intelligent are not smart enough to think for themselves, so they need to be just obey without thinking. And so within the Dark Brothers, a handful obtain freedom to boss everybody else around, and the rest of them are not able to do any thinking for themselves, but get whatever reward that can be passed out. So the basic difference between the light and the dark brotherhoods is the principle of freedom. And we see this being played out in the world today, in every government today, in political parties. When you see an argument on TV, it's always based between this. One is teaching a little bit toward free will. The other one is teaching about the government or some powers that be having more control. And it always boils down to that argument between the two. One person wants free will, one person wants control. Well, let's pick a simple issue so we can understand, like, say, seatbelts. They want more and more control over seatbelts, for instance. Well, and the argument is, well, it's good that we wear seatbelts. Well, that's not the argument, whether or not it's good to wear seatbelts. The argument is it good to force people to wear seatbelts? The do-gooders are always trying to force people to do good. Now, if we spent that same energy in just teaching people to buckle up, then they'll pretty much eventually do it on their own without being forced to. There's a certain amount of force has to be applied, like we have to prevent burglars from burglarizing our home and people from murdering and raping, things like this. But that's to enhance the freedom of the whole rather than to take away the freedom of the whole. But when any laws take away the freedom of the whole, then that's a law that makes the Dark Brotherhood rejoice. Like Prohibition, a lot of the religious people got together and they says, well, alcohol creates a lot of problems, so we're going to force people not to drink. And so so maybe for certain alcoholics it would be good that they don't drink. Okay, so the ideal maybe had some good behind it, yet the force created tremendous evil. And remember who materialized because of it? Al Capone. Al Capone and people like him started to sprout up all over the country. Tremendous. And people drank almost as much as ever. My dad even created his own still. And yeah, my dad created his own still and made the best money ever made during the Prohibition. And so people drank almost as much as ever. It just cost them more. And there was a lot of corruption, and a lot of crime lords got a tremendous amount of power. And then when they did away with Prohibition, everybody thought, well, boy, people are just going to go crazy. So what happened? Well, they did go crazy for about 6 months. They drank more than usual for about 6 months. They kind of really jumped into it. And then after about a year, it normalized. And they didn't drink any more than they did before per capita after they got over the initial spurs of having the freedom again.
When you tell people they can't do something, that's exactly what they want to do.
Right. And so the principle that the gathered lights will always apply is maximum freedom for the whole. The only time any freedom is taken away is when it increases the freedom for the whole. Like I say, that we take away the burglar's freedom because the burglar takes away the freedom of the whole. So by taking away the burglar's freedom, we increase the freedom for the whole. So the principle involved with freedom is the wholeness aspect. Maximum freedom for the whole. Like with the seatbelt law, simple little thing, but it's totally unnecessary to have a $200 bill fine for a seatbelt infraction. May make us force us to buckle up, but on the other hand, it creates Big Brother telling us what to do, an outward authority with power over our lives. And what we need to develop is the power to have our own personal freedom and do what is right because we decide to do what is right. Do what is right because we see what is right. To help our fellow men because we want to help our fellow men and women. And by doing these things, we can enhance the flow of the energy of God, because the energy of the Holy Spirit operates in total freedom. Where freedom is taken away, the Holy Spirit does not flow.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis Podcast. If you found that what you heard rang true for you, or you're interested in finding out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com.